something I need to do.
I'll see you on that joke. Hello and welcome to Buena Vista, a comedy current affairs podcast, and I think it's a bonus episode, whatever. Yeah. I know this is just the first day for a few of you here. So excited to have you on board. So let's just do a quick whip around at the top to introduce ourselves, say a little bit about who we are and what we do. I'm Theo, and I'm a principal full-stack software developer. I'm so crazy smart, I make over $200,000 a year to type words into a text editor. That's five times the median wage in America, but it's only half what I'm worth, if you ask me, because I'm a 10X developer, and I only surround myself with other 10X developers. I've been around the block a few times. Let's see. I came in after Google made their incredible search product. Shout out to Google. OG. But they needed some help monetizing it. I personally made sure that you couldn't tell the difference between real results and the crazy mishmash of ads paid for by the company that you are literally searching the name of. I did quite a few years at Meta. It was Facebook back then. Some of you too young to remember that. I worked on the system that turned the entire world insane and racist. And I think the results speak for themselves. I worked with the team at Microsoft on the facial recognition tech that we tried to sell to the DEA to not just enable but supercharge their disgusting and fascist mission. And I also worked on Jira for a while. A bit about me personally. I drive a white Tesla, which I bought before we all worked out Elon was a bit nuts in 2022. But I keep it because we need to so badly to save the climate for the good of humanity. I'm also a big proponent of Bitcoin, which uses in the order of 100,000 times the energy to perform a transaction compared to a credit card. Oh, and how good is ChatGPT, the autocomplete robot that uses 5 million graphics cards to hallucinate new kinds of slander? So a bit afraid that it might rise up and rule over us if people are mean to it. Because when I was a baby, my uncle picked me up by the feet while no one was watching and swung my head into the front of his ride-on mower. Of course, in my spare time, I write new JavaScript libraries to needlessly supplant the old ones, ensuring a constant and self-sustaining churn of wasted effort and continually uplifting systems. I've been so completely surrounded by this performative and ersatz community in my jobs that I truly believe that what I'm doing is not just important, but morally imperative, not a new way of abstracting and executing the evil whims of capitalists. But enough about me. Who else do we have on the team? Ben, Scrum Master, you're up. Benno, can you please explain this enormous corporate diagram of our Scrum process?
Well, first, a little bit about myself.
Please.
I am a full-stack software engineering ninja.
Yeah.
And rock star.
Yeah,
both of those.
And kind of like a ninja pirate, if you ask me.
Yeah, sort of an epic ninja pirate. Wizard.
When do you play the rugby then?
Cowboy.
Hey?
When do you play the rugby?
Sorry.
You said you called Ben a scrum master.
Mm-hmm.
See?
You're trying
so
sports material with a sort of a knot.
Oh, you were referring to the sports ball.
Is the sports ball on right
tough
now? I didn't
crowd,
know.
Tough crowd.
Yeah, you. I don't think anyone has ever got that non-deliberately a cold response in their podcast.
Just not even a joking one.
Yeah, yeah, brutal.
I never even thought that there could be two meanings to that. Isn't that funny?
No, I spent so long on my 2-week intensive Agile Scrum Master course that I can't remember anything from the outside world.
That was back when they were giving you IAccuser on the course, right? How are you saying that word?
How am I saying what word?
Are you saying ayahuasca right now?
What?
I think you are saying ayahuasca.
Say it. How did you say it?
Yakuza?
Yakuza?
They're giving you a yakuza?
I don't have the word in front of me right now, okay?
I think he was saying it as though he were suggesting that like a woman had just murdered someone.
I accuse ya. Oh.
We've also got Andrew, who's
I just want to backpedal a little. While we're being really pedantic and not receiving each other's jokes well, I just want to point out that between, I think, either last episode or the episode before and now, you've shifted from the incorrect to the correct pronunciation of ersatz.
I think I've always said that word, and I say it frequently correctly.
Check the tape. I think listeners will check the tape and they'll know the truth.
All right.
This podcast is great.
Yeah. Ooh. We've also got Andrew, who's responsible for our, let's see, oh, what aren't you responsible? So you do the business model canvas. You put together our value chain, and you're keeping this all up to date in Orbis Infinity. Andrew, you must be so glad the migration away from Cumworks is finally finished, hey?
I am. It look, it seems complicated, all these different things I'm doing.
Yeah,
all
and it also kind of is hard to imagine what any of it is, like what any of it actually results in, like what work at the end of this is.
Why it is.
Yeah. Why it is, yeah. What it represents in like real terms of like us having to do something, just from an outside observer.
Do I have 650 Jira tickets open? Yes. But can I also confidently say that I understand our primary product goal, which is to turn every search for a product that you do into a search for that thing, but on Temu.
Yeah. And it takes 14 layers of SharePoint to do this as well.
Yeah.
Which you'll find documented in our architecture diagram.
And if you're listening to this podcast for the first time, don't start with a bonus episode. That was a terrible fucking idea.
Yeah. I save these.
Ben, you're a rock star, you said, and also a ninja.
Yeah. Yes,
I'm more of a cowboy. I'm more of a guru, personally.
Yeah, I've been saying this about you.
The guru, yeah.
Full stack guru.
Full stack guru.
I'm half stack right now, but if things get a little better,
stepping away for a bit to go half stack.
I had a sense memory reflex to migration in that, like, that word, I think to most people you think of flocks of geese flying overhead or what have you. But I feel like every time a migration of any kind came up when I had a software job, everyone talked about it as if it was the end of the fucking world.
Yeah.
Like, it was
and
the
it
worst.
It was because everyone, like, quit by the end of it.
Yeah.
Because the whole thing sucked.
Guys, we're doing the migration next week. Fuck. Yeah. Shit, it's all over. Guess what? You're still going to get paid for a 9-to-5 Monday to Friday week of doing...
Yeah, and paid well too.
Kind of nothing? Like mostly nothing?
Well, 9-to-5, I mean, I'm kind of rocking in at 10.
Oh, sorry, it's not 9-to-5. It's a 7.67 hour day or whatever it is. So so it's less than that if you take a half hour break. Yeah,
I had a corporate job that I started and they were like, oh, we haven't got like your login and stuff set up yet. So we'll obviously get that together for you as soon as possible.
Great sign as well, like big green tick for the company.
Yep, having it all together. And they were like, so, you know, like, well, maybe we can just like, well, you know, we'll print out some induction stuff, some policies, that kind of thing, you know, and you can read through that. And I was like, cool. This went for 4 to 6 weeks.
Amazing.
Like, that it took them to finally provide me with my email address and password so that I might log into the system for the very first time. And they paid me my full-time wages for that entire period.
It's so good. The whole world rocks.
My second ever programming job, they did that to me, but it was just like 2 to 3 days. And I was having a fucking aneurysm for 3 days. I was sitting at the office at my desk being like, what am I supposed to do?
Is everyone mad at me?
Crazy. Yeah.
Everyone can see that I'm doing no work right now.
I felt so conspicuous. No one gave a shit. I know that now in retrospect, but at the time I was like, I can't just dick around on the internet because they'll look at me like,
you're too new for that. Yeah.
I was dicking around on the internet, but I can't. There's nothing for me to do. It made me feel sick to my stomach.
What did you do?
Nothing. I just sat there paralyzed for 9 hours. And then I went home and then I came back and I did it for 2 more days. It felt awful.
So no one like sat next to you and was like, oh, you know, while you're waiting for that stuff to get sorted, let's like
I talked to the other programmers being like, hey, man, do you mind if I just sort of sit over your shoulder and sort of just like get familiar with the architecture and stuff? And like a guy was like, well, here's our 3 layers. You can go back to your desk now. And I'm like,
if somebody said to me, can I sit and watch you work for 3 days? My answer would be no.
Oh, if someone did that to me.
I don't like being watched.
Absolutely. I think I'm dicking around on the internet to do.
Yeah. Can you give me a controller so it feels like I'm playing too?
Yeah. The boss said it's my turn to use your computer.
Lucy, I've started playing Call of Duty again, and and I was having a tiny play yesterday, and then like both of the kids came along and sat down and started watching, and I was like, "Fuck this!"
Oh yeah, that's the worst.
This absolutely throws me off.
My stepson does that. He asks all these questions. He's like, "What's that? What do you have to do? What's that gun you're using?" And it's like, "I don't know. I don't know." Like, I'm normally a lot better than this. It's just I'm normally way better.
Every time I die, I'm like side eyeing over at the children to see if they're reacting. One of them is like, "Are you playing as a girl right now?" And I was like, "It's not important to this game.
It's not relevant." But yes,
my children are like Victorian peasants in that if they saw me playing Bloodborne or something, like the possibilities, it would kill them. It would kill them dead. They are not aware that you know the works of Hideo Taka and Miyazaki even exist.
Only a matter of time, though.
Only a matter of time. Finally, we have Lucy. She's not really a staff member. She actually joins us from a consultancy that we will call Adventure. And what you do is, let me see if I got this right. You coordinate an enormous team of folks in the global south to perform underpaid labor to fulfill your company's and shareholders' mission to extract as much profit from us and society as possible. You're a creature of pure malice who feeds on and produces misery, just a complete formless being of black malaise, lower than the lowest bottom feeder on the unexplored Hadal Plains. She might not be on our payroll, but she is still family to us. Hey, Lucy.
Now that I can understand. You're using a lot of like buzzwords and stuff for the other guys' jobs, but like Hadal mine Plain. Is very straightforward. My motivations very clear to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Money.
You and we are a family.
Evil.
you're evil.
You're evil.
You're just plain evil.
But I'm also mother.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And you are girl bossing. Yeah.
And you're paid so much more than everyone else around you that is on the payroll.
Oh, yeah.
The company is paying you 5 times as much as you personally are paid for you to be there as well.
Yes.
And you are a full-time employee and you have been here for 3 years. So, like, we have paid, like, $1.5 million for you.
Does anyone have a problem with a woman in a position of power? Or?
No, I think it's great. I think it's really amazing. I think it's awesome that you're there. I don't think it matters that you don't have any of the relevant skills to the position that you're currently holding.
Yeah, and I don't really do anything. Yeah. Like,
no, you're,
I just don't kind of do anything.
You're sort of like the translator. You translate things into nerd.
That's true. I listen to all that stuff you guys say, and I pass it on to the client, you know? Everybody's got a different skill.
Oh, Christ, I forgot sales engineers.
Mm.
It's just really feels like a graveyard of spirits. Just a death of the soul.
When I was like 23 years old and my only qualification was that I had dropped out of a software engineering degree and I didn't know anything about anything, I was getting billed out to the Queensland government at $350 an hour.
Yes. Get that paper.
Amazing. Yeah.
Well, I wasn't getting paid that much, obviously.
No, you were getting paid $32 an hour, which is still
quite good.
Still very still good.
I think at that time I was earning more money than I am right now. But
you were working harder as like physical like demands on your like interpersonal skills.
I might not have been working harder physically.
Yeah.
Or mentally.
Yeah.
And the hours were shorter. Actually took a lot less emotional labor as well. Didn't really have to deal with people interpersonally as much.
But what about the mission, Ben?
But
the mission was evil.
Was we absolutely flubbed a project for a Queensland State Department that didn't end up getting used but did cost them several $1 million.
Oh, I didn't know you worked for IBM.
I didn't. I wasn't Queensland Health. Times. Just as long as anyone is listening, it was not the Queensland Health one. It wasn't the famous one.
Says here you worked for IBM in 1944. What were you doing there, buddy?
I got an important question about your office job, Ben.
Mm.
How were the toilets?
Oh, bad. I mean, it's funny that
it's so bad.
And not just as part of a segue, but at one point, the team that I was on had a sit-down meeting of everyone being like, hey, the condition of the toilets is really bad. What the fuck is going on? I don't think I was part of the problem, but I was working with the team of people who were the problem.
I'm gonna put it out there. I don't think you've really worked an office job unless somebody on your floor has had to police a toilet issue.
Man, I don't.
I feel like this might be a male issue.
Oh no way.
No,
really.
Oh, minority report.
I've only experienced it in male toilets.
I've only heard horrific things about men's toilets in general.
Yeah,
not in my experience.
I think
I am agreeing about the men's toilets, but also problems in other areas too.
I would have assumed that the office worker's blight, which is that you've had like three grande dirty chais by 9:30.
Pass the time to get out of the office.
To pass the time, yeah.
Well, then it lets you pass the time in a different way.
Yeah, everyone's doing like a paint job, right?
Yeah.
All the time. It's all paint jobs all the time. Like,
but don't forget to pile literally half a roll of toilet paper on top for some reason,
yeah,
and don't even bother to flush.
Sometimes I worry this podcast is slightly too scatological, but I do remember
our comment on the previous episode on Patreon saying, for anybody who's having trouble, the toilet talk ends at 22 minutes and 40 seconds.
That's the best part of that episode. What are you talking about?
Yeah,
that's kind of the main bit. After that.
A lot of it was logistics. Come on.
Also, aren't you dealing with this? How are you going through your life and not dealing with these toilet issues?
We all poop. I read that book.
You're not having toilet issues?
Yeah.
Oh, nice for
La-di-da.
Some. Yeah. Oh, up in your ivory toiletless tower.
Must be really nice.
I'm sorry,
every day you don't go to the toilets on your, you know, the level of the IT department that you work at, and wonder whether like three bears have simultaneously shit in it at once.
I also don't think that the toilet talk on the last episode was like,
no, we were
nasty.
Talking about flushing
billiard balls.
Yeah.
Oh, did you see that someone? So we had quite a lot of people respond to this with some genuinely very interesting things, which almost never happens.
It's always nice when you find out what your audience is interested in.
So we had a lovely person in the Discord reply with like NASA's attempts at replicating the chemical composition of a turd for the purposes of, because they have to model a bunch of stuff around that. But somebody else saying that when Kohler, like the toilet manufacturer, like Kohler, needs to replicate flushing a turd, it's a condom filled with bean paste.
I did see that.
Reasonable. Reasonable.
Although, as discussed,
the breakup effect.
I brought this back to the same group of friends that we were talking about the toilet problem in the first place with, and we all agreed you're not replicating one of the crucial elements of the turd.
Propulsion?
The surface of the turd.
Yes.
So I don't know. It's an unsolved problem.
The surface of the turd is Hasselbacked.
Potato?
Well, it's a wild variation. You can't represent every turd.
Yeah, not every turd is the same. They're all vastly different.
No. Most turds
vastly
are different.
Just
some turds are the same.
Statistically, some turds are the same.
Some are probably about the same.
Just before we get into the actual toilet story, Ben, I just want to say,
a toilet story.
So this is a segue. I don't know if you could tell.
We traveled internationally towards the end of last year, and I'm not in international airports very often, but I was loving how every toilet had like a antibacterial hand wipe type spray in it, right? So you could like spray onto that and wipe down the seat with like sanitizer stuff, you know?
That's smart. That's
and
good.
I was like, this germs, is wonderful. Please, I am petitioning the governments of the world mandate putting some spray in the toilet so that if there's some pee on the seat, I can wipe it down and feel good about it.
That's just thinking with your noggin. Have you guys ever thought about becoming a pushing the seat on the toilet up with your foot person?
I've done it before, but it's a specific scenario.
Like
I don't have
disaster.
The organization of mind to
we're
do
talking
that.
We're talking nightclub toilet. Like,
yeah. Fair enough.
That's a whole different world, you know?
Yeah.
Speaking of toilets...
We were.
It's time for Toilet Watch.
Oh, we've still got it, folks.
like 8 minutes of toilet.
I think it's a bit more than eight, to be honest.
Hard to tell. And if you were the person that tried to ward other people away from toilet stuff, we're not angry at you per se. We just find you hard to understand.
But we did land at about 22 minutes again, although this time the toilet talk isn't ending. It's really just ramping up.
Yeah. This is from WCMH in Ohio. Yeah, I don't think you can pronounce this. If you were saying this, you know how in like Irish spelling, sometimes an MH is like a V?
Yep.
The Wakiv.
The Wakiv.
Yeah.
Marysville police investigate after $40,000 found in local bathrooms.
Plural.
Yes, bathrooms.
Bathrooms.
Correct.
Because if it was one, you would think that the person who found it would go, oh, it's a little treat for my pocket. And then that would be the end of the story.
Yeah, if I found any amount of money in a toilet, I like to think I'm a good person, but at the same time, it's toilet money.
It's toilet money. Like, hey, it belongs to the streets.
I'm tapping my pockets. Oh, I think I'm short about $40,000. Hang on, let me just retrace my steps today. I've done a lot of shitting. I've done like 7 shits today.
What have I done today? Well, I took out 40 large from an ATM, and then I shat a bunch of times, but only in public bathrooms. Yes.
Oh, then I did one of my famous day-long toilet tours. Oh, no.
I was going to every public bathroom I could find to identify toilet models so I could test the flushes on them.
Retracing my shits.
Me and my buddies love to go on a toilet crawl.
A lot of guys tapping out by the 10th toilet. Yep. You've really got to set a reasonable sort of limit on these things. There's a money mystery in Marysville after tens of thousands of dollars have been found around the city. The money was found in a couple publicly accessible bathrooms.
Come on.
It's far too casual. Come on now.
Yeah. Just adopt a formal tone while you're writing the fucking story at the very least.
It's meant to be the news, goddammit.
Yeah. You're supposed to be the news.
Yeah.
Report the news.
Let us do the silliness. The guy's using your work for free. The money was found in a couple publicly accessible bathrooms, according to the Marysville Police Department. Captain Nate Sachs said more than $20,000 was found in the bathroom at the Avalon Theatre last weekend. Then, on Thursday night, more than $10,000 was found in a bathroom at the Kentucky Fried Chicken on Delaware Avenue.
Okay. Imagine finding 10 grand in the KFC bath. First of all, KFC bathroom might be the most dire bathroom situation available.
Would you attribute this to a dietary element or to a cultural element?
I think it's both, right? Because it's the KFC. It's also KFCs always have like one bathroom and you need to ask one of the 14-year-old staff members for the key for it.
Because you get in there.
Presumably teens are causing too much mischief at the KFC.
Just like a blinking, half-working ultraviolet light.
Yeah, like it doesn't lock properly.
Shooting up while
you can't
eat
shoot
popcorn
up in there.
To imagine it's at the same level of upkeep as the rest of the KFC, right?
Yeah.
The KFC
like
is kind of
towels kind of strewn everywhere.
They don't want you in there. Like McDonald's welcomes toilet users.
Oh, we stopped at a KFC like on a highway route between like, you know, Canberra and Melbourne or Canberra and Sydney, one of those very, very well
trafficked. They're gonna have a toilet, right?
Very well trafficked stops. And came out and like, you know, when the store is all staffed by the teens, and I can
envision a KFC. Yeah.
Yep.
I've been there.
And I said to somebody at the store, I would normally never say this, but someone's got to do something in there. Someone's got to squeegee that bad boy down. That was wild in there. You can't touch any of the surfaces.
I don't think KFC cares about their dine-in customers the way that a McDonald's does.
No,
it's
hard
to tell what
KFC
cares about.
They don't care about the welfare of chickens?
No.
I'm about
to put the genetic purity of what constitutes a chicken.
Well, their stuff. You walk into a KFC and in any given Australian metropolitan centre at 8:45 at night and there is like 43 customers and two teenagers, yeah. and half by of the machines are like, broken down.
They're 14 and 6 months.
Yeah. And they are discussing the issues like it's fucking NATO in there. They are working out what to do with the world's ills, and they're not equipped to deal with what's happening in that restaurant right now, and I do not hold them responsible.
Man, one of the things I worked in supermarkets for like full time for like 4 or 5 years of my life, and one of the things that stuck with me was that every single day there felt like the worst shift you've ever had, in that like there would be a cascading series of errors that went wrong.
Yes.
Like the load would be late, or someone didn't deliver something, or someone didn't turn up for their shift, or someone did something or whatever. So that like every single day you'd be like, holy fuck, we've really got to make up for this. But you had like a 9-hour shift to try and make up for those things. Every time you go into a KFC, it's the worst shift of their life, but the problems that are happening are something they have to make up for in 5 minutes. So yeah. like there's just yeah. lights flashing, there's beeps going off.
There's beeps, there's all
kinds of
beeps.
People yelling at them. There's so many beeps, and they're scrambling. There's shit all over the floor. People are yelling.
They got to bring the
Twister.
Fries.
We need a Twister.
It's Vietnam in there.
How long on Twister?
Do we still do Twisters?
Do we still doing the Zinger Twister?
Yumbo, it's Yumbo.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And it looks like the problem started in like 1992. They've been looking for this Twister, yeah, continually.
I took the kids through the Red Rooster drive-through recently.
Why would you went to Red? Was it open?
Yeah, it absolutely was.
Yeah, they got a new brand.
Our local Red Rooster is operating at a way higher level than the local McDonald's or KFC. They're doing all new shit now, right? They have reinvented themselves. I'm going to bat for Red Rooster.
They've been money laundering for like the past 20 years, right?
They have. Yeah. It's the only fast food chicken restaurant I've ever been into in the middle of a day and been told, we're out of chicken.
I can't believe they're still doing well, because I don't think, because my dad isn't trying to desperately feed a family with no cooking skills, mm-hmm. their sole customer is gone. So who's purchasing it?
Yeah.
It's me. I'm getting like chicken tender subs for the kids and shit. And so we pull up to the window where they hand you your shit. And one of the teens opens the sliding window. And from inside we hear, boop, boop, boop. And the kids
I
are like.
I think that sound is standard issue.
Yeah, the kids are like. Everything's fine a lot.
Yeah. And the kids go, what is
normal
that?
Normal operation.
But the children are like, what is that noise? What's gone wrong in there? And I was like, that's the noise to the. Well, that's one of several keening alarms that is happening at all times to tell these teenagers there's something else they're meant to be doing.
Yeah.
You're burning the fries. These chicken tendies are done.
McDonald's used to have that. Like, if you went to a McDonald's, there would just be like 4 or 5 different crazy loud alarms.
Yeah, all the machines
since phased out.
Beep in a different way. I feel like you're not getting that as much.
Like having insane alarms going 24/7 probably has like a bad result on productivity and quality.
If you give 17s PTSD, they probably won't like operate at their best capabilities.
Red Rooster, check it out.
Quote, they were hidden in a way that you would have to know where to look to find them. It wasn't like you walk in and they were behind a trash can or anything like that.
It was hidden money.
It's a real toilet money
mystery.
Is
it a TikTok thing? You know, there's the TikTok money guys?
No. Oh, you're talking about the Marysville Avalon Theater bathroom $30,000
challenge. Yeah, just like there's $30,000 in the Avalon Theater bathroom.
Has Mr. Beast been here?
Who was looking?
If it was such a carefully devised hidey hole.
Yeah, someone went to find the gun they taped to the back of the toilet at the Avalon Theater, and they found $20,000. Oh, well, I'll take that to the police instead of keeping it.
I guess I'll kill Johnny No Neck tomorrow.
They talk to someone who's like, I was just feeling around under the sink to try and get some gum to chew, and what comes out in my hand?
I'm always out of gum.
I was looking for free gum, but I found free $40,000, and that buys a lot of gum.
So I've been in there for 27 minutes looking for used syringes. employees at both of the establishments found the cash, according to Sachs. Oh. Yeah, they're probably just cleaning the bathroom, I guess. In a really thorough way. That's quite That's quite nice.
Why'd you call the cops? Fuck.
Yeah.
Do you think there's someone paying it forwards?
Maybe, but they've gone and called the cops about it.
Yeah, but then they've gone and called the cops about it. If you are the recipient of a pay it forwards, do not call the cops. Mm. Keep the money for yourself.
If you work at a KFC and I accidentally dropped 20 grand in the toilets, and when you're cleaning the toilets, you find the 20 grand, I am giving you my blessing.
Yeah.
It's yours.
Don't call the fucking cops. That's your 20 grand.
I was supposed to have it, but if I can't have it, I don't want the cops to have it. I want you to have it.
I was going to pay off Johnny No Neck.
Yeah.
But you know what?
I've got to kill him. Yeah. I've got to bring a Colt 45 and shoot him in the head.
Yeah, you know
I'm
going to
do it. I'm going to kill him.
You know what? The Grabanzio crime family, they're not so tough. I think I'll be fine.
You need a gun. It's so hard to garrote Johnny No Neck.
Yeah. I was thinking of perhaps like not perpetuating the cycle of violence that this is all symbolic of. Yeah. And I was going to give him $20,000, but you found it. So I'm going to have to shoot him in the head with my gun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Instead of a gesture of goodwill, I think I might have to kill everyone in the Grabanzio crime family, including the children.
Yeah.
Just to really make sure.
Which will probably kind of set off a multi-state war that will sort of subsume all of us who have enriched ourselves from this like violent criminal practice.
It will be a story of revenge that spans across decades, you know,
little
and
Timmy
affects
Grabanzio,
families
I'll
for generations to come.
Rick Steves.
You are off the hook, Rick Steves.
I have a lot of Grabanzios to kill first.
But then I'm coming back for you, Rick Steves.
Once I've done over the next four generations of my family working out this vendetta with the Grabanzios, Rick Steves, you're fucking dead.
You better hope Mrs. Grabanzio's having more kids this year, Rick Steves.
It's on site.
It's on site after I return from Sicily.
But what if you get to Sicily and fucking Rick Steves is there doing one of his
he's traveling
European
everywhere.
Travel blogs, you know?
God damn.
It's true.
What I'm picturing here is that a teen employee finds this money and they call the police and the police take the money away and then they talk to the news and the news says, wow, it's crazy that these teens found, you know, $20,000 in the bathroom, and the cops are like, fuck. And they go and get it out of the glove box and then bring it inside the building to submit it into evidence. Because
they kind of do the round of like, come on, guys.
Yeah.
Let's go in the old pension
you've
fund.
All got check your back pockets. You might have just sort of gone a bit walkabouts. Look,
I know I promised you all that we were about to have the craziest night at Topgolf in history. But unfortunately, they went to the news.
Yeah, no porterhouse dinner tonight.
No porterhouse at Topgolf.
Drinks at Topgolf are expensive too, so it's like a
couple of Topgolf cocktails add up real quick.
Oh yeah,
you have three cocktails at a porterhouse at Topgolf,
but
and you've got to have a couple of baskets of balls as well, obviously.
Oh, obviously.
In fairness, you haven't had a porn star martini until you've had a Topgolf porn star martini.
Yeah.
Grabanzio's owned that place too, so they're always taking a little bit off the top, those Grabanzio Topgolf porn star martinis.
They run the Topgolf. They run it.
They run every Topgolf.
Yeah.
Quote, truly bizarre, just weird.
Wow.
Sorry, I'm reading from reviews of this wacky podcast.
Sorry. You...
Especially two times a week. Especially two times in 1 week in our town.
It's just like this podcast.
That's right, in our town. Brisbane.
Hmm.
This is a Brisbane podcast in a way, isn't it?
Fuck.
Spiritually.
Yeah.
Spiritually, it's a very Brisbane podcast.
Think globally, act Brisbane.
If you're from Melbourne or Sydney and you don't like our jokes, it's because of that, not because of any other reason.
Yeah.
And if you're from Perth, hello over there. The sound will reach them in a couple of years. It's disbelief. It's disbelief. And honestly, they're just curious as to why the money would be there in the first place.
Sure.
I guess.
Grabanzio's.
Like, probably crime. Like,
yeah, I got one word for
crime.
It. Starts with G. Ends with Grabanzio. In his 18-year career, Zach said a situation with this much money being found in public places is a first for him.
And being turned into the police, I assume.
Yeah, that was a super first. That was a crazy first.
The rest of the time, it's the police finding it and not turning it in.
That was a first plus. Investigators are trying to figure out where the cash came from, who put it in the bathrooms, and who it was meant for.
Yeah, that's probably the standard rundown. Yeah,
I would say so.
Yeah. Don Grabanzio. Yeah.
After finding this cash, investigators are asking, what's the deal with this cash? Quote, we're looking at the avenues that they're probably connected.
You think?
You fucking reckon?
You reckon?
At this point, with an open investigation, we have not linked it up yet, but anything's possible at this point. We're just looking at everything. Zach said, yes, have an open heart, an open mind.
I disagree. Yeah. Don't look at everything. Own in on one avenue. Pick the avenue that you think it is and ignore the others.
And if that's not it, job done.
Job done.
Yeah. You've got burglaries not to get to.
That's right.
You got Topgolf to play.
Yeah. Just focus on the Grabanzios. And then when you go to the Grabanzio estate just outside of town and they say, hey, that's not us. I tell you what, last time we were talking, you told me that your wife's kind of sick. I know a guy that works at the hospital. We'll sort out all those medical bills for you, okay? And he says that, and then you never bring up the Grabanzios or the cash again. Probably
your
the best way
gets
to play
better,
it.
And then your marriage gets better because all the things you've been fighting about don't matter anymore.
They get her the medicine machine from Elysium? The Grabanzio family?
Grabanzio funded Elysium medicine machine?
To make her all better?
I tell you, if something like that happened, I guess the only thing you could really say is, hey, thanks, Lucio Grabanzio. I really appreciate everything that you've done for me. Can't remember whether your name is Grabanzo or Grabanzio, but whichever one it is, I appreciate you. Sack said that the Maryville Police Department does not believe there are any more large amounts of cash out there.
They would say that. Why would they say that?
That'd be the first fucking thing you'd say. Obviously, there are other large amounts of cash out there. If you live in Maryville, Ohio, they just don't want anyone to get to it first. Oh my God. If you're anywhere near Maryville, Ohio, get out there. Every public bathroom, restaurant,
KFC,
bars,
Red Rooster,
libraries.
Hungry Jack's.
We know that it's well hidden. So you're going to want to get
into your local Portos.
You're going to get your hands behind
Chick-fil-A.
The machines.
I've got to make something really clear, though. If you are a Marysville resident and you're hearing about this for the first time from us and you subsequently identify toilet money, you owe us
half the toilet money.
Just a little bit off the top for us. Nothing
a taste
big.
Of the
We're
toilet
not greedy.
Money.
Just a little. We helped you.
We're not extortionate.
This is a business interest.
We're not extortionate. We're not Garbanzios. Okay?
We're not the Garbanzios. We are trying to take some turf from the Garbanzios. Yeah. We've gone to mattresses. We've got our boys out there, our soldiers. They're ready to go. If anyone does find more, they are urged to call police, he added. He also said, not the news this time.
Not the news.
Not the news.
Talk to the fucking reporters, okay? Bring the cash to us. Forget about it.
Be fucking cool for once in your life. Do not talk to the reporters. Stop telling everyone about the toilet money.
They're rats. They're enemies of the people. Talk to us.
Talk to us.
And our friends, the Carpentiers.
Lucio's a very good guy. They could be your friends as well. You don't want them not to be your friends.
He's a community man. He'll help out with stuff. Is your wife sick? He could help your wife.
We got the Elysium machine.
Your wife? Sarah?
Not the one that nukes. What's his name? The other one.
He also said Maryville Police Department does not want people just going around town looking for money.
Cops don't want a lot of things.
They can't tell you. It's not fucking illegal to go to every public toilet in town.
Is it illegal? Oh, is using the toilet illegal?
Yeah. Is looking around illegal?
Interacting with your environment, a crime, according to the Maryville Police Department.
Is having IBS and crippling debt illegal now?
Yeah.
Huh?
Maybe you have a specific form of OCD that means you need to crawl over every inch of a public bathroom just to make sure there isn't any cash in there.
Maybe I just need a peek. I need a peek.
A little peek.
Yeah. Just going to have a little look. Hey, can I check your toilets real quick? Yeah. 20 minutes, tops.
I've just encountered something really disappointing through this story, right?
Oh. Bazio, not a real Italian surname?
No. The Avalon Theater, where this money was found, right?
Mm.
If you look at their Twitter account, and I'm sharing this image with you, the co-hosts, not you, the listener, you can't see it.
Mark, can you check that up on the screen
on the projector?
Okay.
Get up on our big rear projection Sony Trinitron TV in the corner there, you could.
It's very beautiful.
That's the gold standard in CRT broadcasting.
Yeah.
So what we're looking at here is a concept.
Kind of a beautiful Art Deco theater.
This is a concept rendering of what it's going to look like after their renovation, right?
Mm-hmm.
On their Twitter account, they're saying, follow along. This looks beautiful. It's all Art Deco style. You know, they've got like the crimson curtain, the big velvet curtains. And
picture
like
the Sander Cohen introduction from the game BioShock.
Mm-hmm.
And you've basically got it.
If that were a theater. And then if we find a photo of
and
what
it
actually looks like post-renovation, here's an image of that.
Oh, that's
shit.
That is an auditorium.
Oh, that's grim.
It's a theater. It's got
painted white.
Cool white lighting.
How did
they make
that?
Very cool white.
So bad.
Could it be? Is it a separate theater? It's not the same. Maybe they're a two screener, and that's a different room. Oh, the exits are in exactly the same place.
They are putting on a high school production of Rent.
Yes, it's
on that stage.
Kind of got like a little half-assed Art Deco sort of.
There's a flourish there.
A little flourish.
You know what
probably
happened?
Leftover.
You're not going to watch June Part 2 in this.
You know what the problem was? They made a big mistake when they got into bed with Garbanzio Constructions to do their.
Garbanzio Brothers did not come through on that one, but they're good union boys. They're good
they're
union
good boys.
They got, they got 10,000 seats from the old school.
Yeah.
I'm going to put them in there.
Oh, man.
Wow. A local theater getting extorted by the Garbanzio family. I would expect breaking news like that to be in the
Garbanzio?
Local papers.
Garbanzio?
It's
could be either. I don't know.
I'm not Italian. Anyway, I might expect that to show up in headline news.
Once. Man arrested as police find 1,230,000 cigarettes in a van.
That is so many cigarettes.
That's a lot of cigarettes.
Who's counting?
And what are you guys having?
251.
Is that on its face illegal?
Is it illegal to own that many cigarettes?
It's like it's suspicious to have that many cigarettes, and so we are taking that under civil forfeiture.
Yeah, just be like, these are all mine. They're just for this weekend. The dogs are playing, and I'm gonna need my cigarettes because it's a very stressful game.
Yeah, and they find it stressful too.
So there's 200 to 400 cigarettes in the carton of cigarettes, right?
Yeah.
I'm trying to picture
so
how
the
many cigarettes
right
it is.
So
that's
million,
like 10,000 cartons?
A million cigarettes is 2,500 cartons if you're doing 400 per carton.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What kind of van are we talking here?
That's a big fucking van.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Hmm.
A slide giraffe off. Zoo Boise reopens iconic giraffe slide at new location.
Okay, I just remember this is headline news. I'm just.
Oh, sorry, you thought that was the first sentence of the story.
Now,
this story has it all.
I know that we're not allowed to have any further information. I'm just working with what has been made available to me.
Yes.
So slide giraffe off.
Is this a pun?
As
is
in
a
pun of slide your ass off?
I think it's a pun on slide your ass
I'll
off.
Slide what? Giraffe off.
Who has because ever said slide your ass
slide
off before
what
in their
does that
lives?
Mean?
Would like go crazy. Slide your ass off because Zoo
hey,
Boise reopened their
off.
Iconic
what?
Giraffe
slide
line.
At a new
maybe
location.
If I said it in an American accent, it would make more sense.
Sure, okay.
Go.
Slide giraffe off.
Slide giraffe off.
Slide
no, but what,
giraffe
sorry, no,
off.
But okay. what does that mean? What is slide your ass off? Is this something that people are saying?
Yeah, slide your ass
off. In Boise.
Because in Boise. They just reopened their iconic giraffe slide.
Boise, they're saying that?
Oh, everybody's saying
that. I think it's a Boise thing.
In Boise, they're saying,
yeah, it's kind of Boise dialect stuff.
Hey, bud, slide giraffe off.
You guys want to go sliding this weekend? Nah, man. I'm tired of that. What if I told you they'd reopened their iconic giraffe slide?
What if I told you we were going to go have some porn star martinis at Topgolf, then go to Zoo Boise and slide... I'm trying to think of a plural version of saying slide giraffe off. Slide giraffes off.
Slide giraffes off.
At Zoo Boise. Minnesota Twins rally sausage sparks franchise's longest win streak.
The Minnesota Twins have a win streak. Sparked by rally sausage.
So they have a rally and there's a special sausage available at the rally, or is that...
I wish there was some way of knowing.
And that made them win?
Yeah, their longest winning streak. Congratulations to the fine people.
Hear it again, please.
Congrats to the Twins.
Minnesota Twins rally sausage sparks franchise's longest win streak.
Oh, don't worry.
What more do you want to know?
I'm not going to explain the story, but there is another headline from The Athletic which says Twins summer sausage returns, sparking yet another winning rally.
I'm not going to tell you anything more about this story. This does not refer to a food product in any way, shape, or form. Other than the fact that the word sausage is used. And hopefully that clears it up for everybody.
And the Twins are doing this.
Well, the Minnesota Twins, yeah.
Minnesota Twins are doing this.
Yeah, that's right. Hey, we all have questions. And often when I have a question, I ask my friend Lucy, who's a doctor, by the way. It's time for Paging Dr. Lucy.
If you find that you are having a little relationship trouble, just to pick up your telephone and dial it on the double. You call 1-800-317-5155. Now you're paging Dr. Lucy.
All right, now this one's quite wordy, so I think I'm just going to give it to you sort of in full, and then we'll see how you feel about it. Okay, so this, bear with me because this will take a little while.
Yeah.
This is from r/AmITheArsehole. Am I the asshole for not having a cousin in my wedding, brackets, high possibility of sabotaging it?
cousin stuff, yeah.
Classic cousin shit, yeah. This may be a long post, but just stay with me. Oh, yeah, sort of said the same thing there. See below for more context. I am a soon bride-to-be, and I will be having my wedding with family and friends, and I have a member of my family who is possibly sabotaging my wedding. A family member of mine, let's call her Tammy, is upset that I didn't include them as a bridesmaid and insisted that they be a matron of honor.
Can you do that?
I don't think you can. Isn't there maid of honor?
There's just one in the
bride. But what if Tammy was one too?
I still love them, and I want them to be there for me on my big day. I do have a valid reason to say no. Tammy is not 100% of me getting married, and I don't want them to be in my wedding if they are not for our happiness. Tammy feels like my fiancé is not the right person for me, more financial than anything. Brackets, my fiancé doesn't make a lot of money, but he does work. Fast forward, I wanted certain family members to be escorted down the aisle at my wedding on both sides. For my side, the person, let's call her Holly, and Holly was all for walking down the aisle to represent me. Then I told Holly, who was on my side, who would be escorting them down the aisle. Tammy made several previous comments they didn't want to walk with them, but in a joking way.
Joking, just in scare quotes there. A joking way. Sounds like Tammy was being a real bitch.
I recently reached out to Tammy and asked if she could wear a certain color, one of my color schemes for the wedding, to match with those who are on my side of the family because my bridal party be wearing the colors of the wedding. However, instead of responding to me directly, Tammy decided to have a private discussion without me knowing to Holly, where Holly calls me, who agreed that they walked down the aisle to represent me, and tells me that she talked to Tammy about what I said in a private conversation and proceeds to say, I don't feel comfortable walking down the aisle because of a personal issue that she is experiencing. I knew this personal issue ahead of time, and if Holly didn't no longer want to walk down to represent me, she could have told me herself.
I responded,
I don't understand it. That's fine. And Holly said, sorry, and I hope I still love her and she will still be present at my wedding. After the call ended, I noticed that after the conversation with Holly, all of a sudden they changed their mind of walking down the aisle. I put two and two together and realized that Tabby was planning to ruin my special day because they didn't get their way and is not a part of my wedding. A later message was sent from Tammy stating, now that so-and-so is out of the wedding, let me know if there is something else I can do. I'm at a loss for words and honestly just heard about all of it. I don't know how to respond to any of this, even if I want to say anything to Tammy at this point. I'd love Tammy, who was a part of my family, and I still want her there because her and a few others are the only family I have left. Do you all think I'm the asshole for not wanting Tammy in my wedding? What do you guys think?
I think Tammy said to Holly, look, I think you're cool. Don't come to the wedding. I think you're cool. Stay home from the
wedding.
Home.
You know? Stay home. Stay home on July 3rd.
I like you, Holly. Stay home.
I don't fucking understand any of this. I read it like four times.
I think Tammy called Holly and said, I'll fucking kill you, Holly.
I think that's probably what it was.
I'll end you, Holly.
I will end your life. I will destroy you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You ever heard of the Garbanzo family?
They've heard of
you. My second cousin's a Garbanzo, and I've been talking about you to them quite a lot, actually.
Oh, you're Garbanzo twice removed?
I'm almost a Garbanzo.
Yeah.
I'm going to say it. Tammy sounds like a real slut, you know?
I am sick of her shit. Yeah. She always makes everything about her. Have you ever noticed that?
Oh, my God. She totally does.
Even though it's my big day.
I do.
Like, tell me if I'm being crazy. Like, genuinely, I mean it. I want you to tell me if I'm, like, acting weird or overreacting.
No,
to
you
this.
Are so right. You are so right.
I just feel like she's being... I hate saying this because I love her. I do. And I know you love her and I hate talking behind her back. She's being a fucking bitch right now.
Yeah. I love her, but I also don't want her at the most important day in my life because I kind of hate her a bit.
She's just kind of a cunt. Yeah.
She's just sort of like... trying to dismantle my wedding but I understand it because, you know, some personal stuff going on.
She has some
between her and
it's got personal stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
It makes between the person posting this sound fucking psycho that they are like, they're like, Tammy's trying to sabotage my wedding. She's talking behind my back. She's doing all this shit.
Completely understand why.
But I'm absolutely 100% going to have her at the wedding.
I love her.
I love her so much. She's like a sister to me, but she's being such a little cunt right now, and I'm sick of it.
She told me she actually just rocked up to my house one night while I was sleeping and said, I'll kill you. I'll fucking chop your head. But like, there's some other personal stuff that I don't want to go into that sort of explains why she was behaving that way. Anyway, can I get your assessment on the situation?
Yeah.
What do you guys think?
The insane freaks and weirdos of Reddit think about this unbelievably convoluted situation that I have with two of my friends.
I'm sorry, but I have to present this to you in the most obtuse way possible.
Yeah, so with like really limited detail. Any, like,
I need to give you the primer diagram of how this all fucking relates to each other. What do you guys think? Sound off in the chat.
The idea of like taking a personal issue and posting it and thinking, where can I get some advice on this? It's like Reddit, like Reddit's at the bottom, like Whirlpool somewhere above that.
Yeah. I think there's like a general rule that is true of like when you have a big interpersonal problem and you're asking a friend for advice, 95% of the time you want that person to just confirm the decision that you've already made.
Well, you want them to agree with you.
Yeah.
Whatever it is. If you just want them to say, you're right, Tammy is a bitch.
Yeah, Tammy's being a cunt on this, right?
And then
I'm just not going crazy.
To Reddit, it's like 100 times worse than that somehow. There is no chance at all that you're going to listen to someone, like one person that comments being like, no, I think you should maybe just sit down with Tammy and Holly and just like sort this out.
Yeah,
you're
stop
gonna be
being
like,
so fucking
get
weird.
Fucked. I'm sick of those two hags. They're ruining my life.
Why do you fucking marry Tammy if you love her
so
much?
I'll kill him.
Yeah. I'll kill them both. And hey, if they did both die, if the circumstances were unlikely enough, that would be something that we would maybe cover in the Ripping Report.
I'm itching for another edition of the Ripping Report.
This time, probably I mean, I guess fortunately, but I could only find one story of a tragic, freakish death. And I've offset it with one story of a lovely, freakish survival.
You guys notice people aren't dying as much anymore?
Yeah, you guys notice people aren't dying?
Weird.
People aren't dying in weird, freakish ways anymore.
When I was a kid, you used to put the sprinkler on and then, like, the neighbor over the road would fall from his ladder and land on his letterbox.
These days?
Yeah.
I don't know. Joe Brandon's done something.
Done something with the water.
A 51-year-old woman in Pittsburgh died after being hit by a large steel cylinder that rolled out of a construction site and down a hill.
Oh, Jesus.
Hit her.
Did she get pancaked?
She probably got pancaked. She got rolled out like a pancake. Yeah,
rolled out like
a pancake. She got Austin Powers
like
steamroller joke. Yeah,
she did. That is exactly what happened to this poor woman who was
I
going
bet
about
feels
her day.
So tragically, for like
oh,
2 seconds.
Her spine must have felt fucking amazing for like one little tiny second there.
Oh, my sciatica.
Probably pulled that so nerve good. Out of there.
Ben, do you think that after impact, but before she died, that she grabbed the top of her head and peeled it back up like Judge Doom from Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
Yeah, or
like the mask
from the
mask. Movie The Mask. Mm-hmm.
And she said, look, bystanders, I'm roadkill.
Yep.
Ha ha ha.
Probably not.
Can you recite some more of The Mask for us, Ben?
I had a specific, some sort of mental disease when I was a child that made me watch everything that I liked 10 times a day. And I haven't come up with a term for what that disease was. Yeah.
Brother, I'm right there with you.
I think I might know what it is.
I think I might just reel off the entire intro to The Pest.
Why The Pest? Jesus.
I warn you, it gets a bit racist in the middle.
It gets a little bit racist.
Oh, he's just riffing. He's just having fun in the shower.
Look, go on YouTube right now. Pause the episode. There's only 2 minutes left, so you don't
even listen to this. Go watch The Pest.
Go watch the intro to The Pest. I've come around now that I used to hate John Leguizamo, and now I love him very much.
Oh,
that
is—he seems like a good guy now.
It's peak Johnny Legs. That's as Johnny Legs as it gets.
It was his shot at stardom.
That
he kind of whiffed it,
and it worked.
The movie's also based off The Most Dangerous Game, isn't it? As well, or at least the novel that inspired The Most Dangerous Game. The Pest is a 1997 American black comedy film inspired by the classic 1924 Richard Connell's short story, The Most Dangerous Game.
Wow. So he sounds
everything
so smart.
Everything in the 90s had to be like based on like Othello. And you would never know.
It's like how Barbed Wire is an adaptation of Casablanca, which is just delightful. Can I give you guys an almost but not quite ripping report before we move into the next one?
Yeah.
I didn't write this down. And I thought it would be in bad taste to share it, but I've changed my mind. There's a guy, I think it might have been in Colorado, but I'm not 100% certain, who got in. He was in, I think it was a single car accident. And they're pretty certain he died from the car accident. But the other thing that they are absolutely certain about is that a bear got to his body afterwards. There's definitely a chance that this guy died from being in a car accident, and then while he was like on the verge of death, a bear attacked him.
Yeah,
you gotta laugh.
Yeah,
you gotta laugh. If you don't
you'll die.
Yeah, you'd be laughing as it happened. What are the odds? Yeah.
I thought this day couldn't get any worse.
Mondays, am I right?
You know what they say: you gotta laugh to keep from screaming. You know,
that's right, because the screaming agitates the bear.
Yeah.
And our miracle survival for this week is that an 18-year-old in Deer Trail, Colorado, he survived after falling 30 feet into an abandoned missile silo.
Oh, no.
That's a lot of feet.
Oh, man.
Why is there's a missile silo?
Yeah, and once you're down there, you've got to deal with like the alien black tar.
The goop. Yeah. They got that alien goop down there in that Krychek's spaceship.
Down there.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
He's not
I guess that's how he
time.
Survived.
Like he's
the,
not a good
the
guy.
The slime, the goop.
No.
You probably bounced off the slime. But then after that, you only got more problems. And I'm going to tell you right now, they're slime related. Hey, that was Fucking absolutely an episode of the podcast, Bunta Vista. Thank you so much for joining us here behind the paywall. We love you, the paybos, so much more than we love the freebos.
So much more. They're so small to us.
They're just kind of...
kind of pathetic.
Yeah, they're just kind of nothing. Yeah, kind
of like, and if you get off on being small and pathetic, don't switch back to being a freebo. We can also find a way to find you a payboy.
No, we respect we respect those people.
No, so I'll give you a custom Discord role that you're a little birthday boy in a little sailor suit.
Hey, if you want to get more of this, come see us at the live show. It's in Brisbane, Queensland, Australia
on June 15th.
Yeah, we couldn't really think of a way to do it anywhere else.
Make a weekend of it. Go to Topgolf.
Go to Topgolf on the way down to the Gold Coast and then go to Movie World on the Gold Coast.
Topgolf, Movie World on the Gold Coast, Bunta Vista live show.
Get yourself a porn star martini.
Yes.
It's going to be great vibes all around. You will meet a bunch of like-minded freaks. You are going to be in an environment that you have not hitherto been in. You're going to meet the most specific kind of person there is, and that person is you. You're going to be a room full of yous for like 3 to 4 hours because Andrew and I are going to be DJing afterwards.
Yeah.
And then Lucy and Theo, the two people least inclined to talk to listeners of the podcast, won't really have a job to do. So they'll kind of have to do most of the talking.
No, I got a hotel room.
Why don't you guys get to DJ?
Did you actually get a hotel room?
Yeah.
Are you staying in town?
Yeah, I'm staying in town.
You could have stayed on my spare bed. What are you doing?
No, but for Caitlin's.
Oh.
What do you mean,
lady wife? No, that's nice.
She'll be just so impressed by the show, do you think? And like...
she'll be like, oh, I didn't even know you could perform like this.
I didn't know you did this.
You're kind of a celebrity. I thought you were just a regular old Joe.
Those people look at you like a god.
So please come to the live show so that Theo can have that scenario play out. Otherwise, we will catch you on the free episode. Stay safe out there. It is fucking crazy. Don't wrong the garbanzios. No.
If you find the toilet money, put it in your bag garbanzio and leave.
Just mind your business.
Run for your life.
Take the money and run.
Your normal life is over. It's a thing of the past.
This is
your new life.
You
run.
You are not a greeter at Walmart. Carla Jean Moss, you are retired. We just have to get away from the cartels whose $1 million this is.
Bye.
All right, bye.
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 $1.2 million.